good singing all the way around. Let me also remind you, there's a lady over there in Flo, and her name was Eva Williams. I've eaten in her home many a time with her and her husband, and been there. They always treated me like a king all those years I'd go over there and preach for Brother Frank. And she passed away, and I got word, was it this morning? Yesterday, and she had passed away, and so I hope you remember to pray for the family. And fact is, I don't know if her husband, is he already gone? Didn't he die? I know the girl did. What was her name? Mary? You didn't know that? Okay, then. Well, all right. It's good that I'm giving you some information then. But anyhow, I hope that you remember to pray for that family that's there. And then also, too, Brother Darrell and Brother Mark and their families, they're going to be going down to Crystal Beach on tomorrow. And so if you've decided to go tonight so you can eat breakfast early in the morning there, don't do it. Don't do it. So put it off until Friday morning, all right? And what time y'all open on Friday?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock? Well, I don't get up quite that early on a day off. Y'all deliver, don't you? No, all right, good enough. That's just all I wanted to. I wanted to throw that in about Miss Eva, and I got tied up on that other. Take your Bible, if you will, tonight, and be looking over there in the book of Romans, in chapter number 10, the book of Romans. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord, and the free pardon of sin. One of these days, we are going to see him face to face. Make no mistake about it, is that you'll find out it's been by the mercy of God, the grace of God, that you and I have been brought into the family of God, and one day we're going to see him face to face. All right, in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 15, if you're able to stand, in verse number 15, and the Bible said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, Father, bless your word every heart. We do thank you for it. And these that have gathered tonight, Lord, may you speak to us and may you do something that will be lasting for all eternity in every heart here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject, if I might. Look at the tracks we're making. In the lesson that we've read here, you'll find that he's talking about those that are called to preach, those that are called to speak, those that have the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their heart, on their life, and coming from their lips. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings unto those that are out there. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that here's one of the things that we're going to be talking about. And don't lose your text or thought there, but look in the book of Ephesians and just turn quickly there in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6 at about verse number 15 in the book of Ephesians. Now, in verse 15, here's what he says. And he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, let me say to you that whenever the Lord talked about that over there in the book of Romans, is that he's looking not only at our feet, but he's looking at the tracks we're making. And let me tell you right now, one of these days you're not going to be making any more tracks here. You know, God can see every time that we took off and the direction that we went and the mission that we were on, whether it be to go to the house of God and praise his name, to witness to somebody about their soul's condition, or whether it be to do something dirty or spread some dirt. God sees our tracks, but he knows exactly where we're going and what we're doing with it. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, please, in the Old West, whenever they'd get after somebody had done something, killed some people, burned their house down, and they'd get out there, and sometime they'd find a track and they'd get on a trail. And they'd say something about, look at this, now that can't be. That can't be the tribe we're looking for. They got shoes on their horses' feet. They could tell by that track they were shod. But when they ran upon where those Indians were, they had no shoes. They were unshod. You sit here tonight. I stand here tonight. We're either shod with the gospel of Jesus Christ or we're unshod without God. God can look at your tracks and tell if you've ever gave the gospel to anybody else. Let me ask you boys and girls and men and women something right here. Have you got a brother or sister that's not saved? Then when's the last time you said anything to them about it? You got a mama, you got a daddy, you got an aunt, you got an uncle, you got a friend, you got a neighbor, you got a colleague at school. Then when's the last time you said anything to them? Do you realize to know that if they die without their Lord, they're going to spend eternity in hell without God? Do you realize that you and I that are shod with the gospel, that we're to carry the message? And the Bible said that when you begin to look into it, that how beautiful are the feet of them. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that Jesus Christ, the Bible said, if you read over there in the book of Luke in chapter number 4, it's in the other related pieces of the gospel. It's also in Isaiah chapter 61 where he called for the book and he read verse 1 and 2, closed the book, handed it back to the minister, and said to them that were listening, today this is fulfilled in your ears. God sent me to preach the gospel. Now, what does that mean while you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11? What does that mean to preach the gospel? What does the gospel mean? Well, it means that you and I were born into this world a sinner without hope and without God. While you turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And here's what it means when you begin to look there in that chapter and you begin to recognize and realize is that in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, there's the explanation of the gospel. Now here's what he said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand in the gospel. You know what that means? There's not but one way to get to heaven. There's not two. We're not, as a Christian, we're not serving God the best way. We're serving the only way. See that? To say the best way, that'd be another direction that could carry. I got to tell you, there's only one way to miss hell and make heaven, and that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 2, by which also ye are saved. What? By what? The gospel. If you keep in memory that which I preach unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now, you know, there's a lot of people, I've got some kinfolks, they claim to know the Lord. They never, hardly ever darkened the door of the house of God. The only time they really show up at a religious gathering is at a funeral. And if the preacher does say anything from the word of the Lord, they're angered about it. Why, they always got to preach. And I always get up in defiance and tell them, well, you're wondering why we preach? When's a good time to preach to you? It's the only thing that'll save your soul from hell. You're always too busy to go to church. Got some excuse about somebody that's sorry in the church. And you don't want to go, and you use that as your excuse. I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, God is going to examine where you've been walking, and he's going to find out that you've never been shot. He knows you've never been shot with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ upon your heart and upon your mind and on your foot. He can tell where you're going. I remember that God-awful day. It's the worst day of our lives. Whenever we'd been out playing and running and having a hoop all time on that Wednesday, and when that tragedy, and I've got pictures when I baptized him, but I remember that day that Jacob left this world, and I went back, and because I had been across the yard that morning, and I had saw a couple of tracks, I've got a poem about it, got it on there, and let me tell you something, there's a lot of tracks that he was making. But I'm glad God one day saw him come down the aisle, get in the basket, give his heart to Jesus, and talk about the gospel message of Jesus Christ to others. Now, I don't like to bring up that situation. It hurts too bad. Make no mistake about it. Do I ever get crossways with God over that kind of thing? Yes, I do. I keep wondering why God lets some God-cussing devil like we've got running this country keep living, and a young man like that, I can tell you why. God's protected him and brought him up out of this world before we had a chance to mess him up too bad. You see what I'm talking about? How beautiful are the feet of them! I never will forget on that day. Brother Ron was out there, and I showed them to him, and I said, I went ahead and took pictures of them because there won't be no more. You see what I'm talking about? When you look into the Bible and God says, how beautiful are the feet of them, that preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. God's looking at the tracks we're making and saying, hey, there's one of mine. Look here, it's been shod with the gospel of peace. Here's one of mine been carrying the gospel to one of their neighbors, carrying the gospel to one of their kinfolk. Here's one of mine just been carrying the gospel to a lost and to a dying world. I got to tell you something about that. Whenever I begin to look into it, I begin to recognize and realize that's what God did for the Lord Jesus when he sent him. He sent him and ordained him to preach the gospel. And notice, if you will, in verse number 3, he said, "For I deliver unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins." Here's the definition of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, that verse number 1-4 that we just got through reading, that's the death, that's the burial, and that's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that for my sins and for your sins, that he might pay the sin debt of the world. Now, there's a lot of people that have since then come and humbled themselves unto the Lord, and no doubt that he's put the gospel shod, the shoes of the gospel on it. And let me tell you something, he's spoken to our hearts, and no doubt about it, he wants us to carry the gospel to a lost and to a dying world, to every creature. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, when the Bible said we pass from death unto life, you see, we were born dead in trespasses and sin, and we couldn't do nothing to help ourselves, but Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay our sin debt, mine and yours, and yea, the rest of the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, Jesus tells this crowd over there in the book of Luke, he tells them that that's why he's been sent. In fact, let's look at the passage real quickly there, if I can find it. It's in Luke, I think it's chapter number 4. And when you look there in the passage, look in verse number 18. He said, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever heard anybody preach that didn't have the anointing? Sure we did. Some of the deadest, dullest, driest services you've ever been in that nearly killed you with boredom was by somebody that wasn't shod with the gospel and didn't have the anointing on them. Something in it. I will tell you something, there's a lot of ways to die, but being drugged to death in a Baptist church is the worst of all of them. Song leading dead, I'm glad ours is not like that. Song leading dead, somebody sometime come up, you know, and as they get older, they can't follow some of that faster singing, and the song leader will sometimes say, "Well, so-and-so, Miss so-and-so got on to me for being too fast." I said, "Good, good. Let her keep getting on to you." We don't want to be drugged to death. We want to leave here shouting when it comes our time to go. And I want to say to you that whenever you look into it, when the gospel is being preached, you'll find out, look in verse 18 again of chapter 4, book of Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, there's a few things. I've got a sermon somewhere on what the gospel, what the preaching of the word of the Lord, what it ought to do. You know, first of all, it ought to point out to you that there's a damage of sin. You know the reason why you were in need of the Savior, I needed the Savior, we're born a sinner. Sin's damaged just beyond repair. It's not a matter that you need to turn over a new leaf, it's that you need new life that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin will damage you absolutely beyond repair, and no doubt that it has. Not only that, but you'll find one of those points is that you'll find out that sin it will damage your heart, it'll damage your life, it'll damage your mind. The wages of sin will be death, and you'll wind up without God forever. But make no mistake about it, you'll find the gospel deals with how to deal with the sin question. Now, you know what the problem is, don't you? You need the Savior. You know what the problem is? Look at the tracks you're making. You're here tonight, and you're saved by the grace of God. You've been shod by the preparation of the gospel. And God sees the tracks you're making. It might be you just invited somebody to come to church. It might be that you just stuck a gospel track in the door, on a windshield, in a bathroom, at a table where you're eating. Whatever that it is, God sees the effort that you and I have put forth of giving out the gospel. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? We're not willing to do our part. We want to go ahead and try to hurry it up and do God's part too. See? And if you preach the gospel, I can't tell you how many preachers that I consider friends in days gone by that have said, I've got to see a certain amount of people come forward to get saved. Well, when that happens, they're going to make things happen. And I got to tell you, that won't get them born into the family of God. It makes them twofold more the child of hell than of yourselves. Here's what I do know, is that when God comes knocking on your heart's door, he's there to take care of your sin problem. And when you receive him in the free pardon of sin, is that he will birth you in and wash you and make you white as snow. Let me say to you that in the day we live in, we've got people that are busy trying to figure out a detour around or trying to find a loophole around sin. You know the reason why that we've been here now 28 years and we've got this crowd and we've had twice this many probably that have come through and went on. I can tell you the reason being is because we're not able to tone it down enough that they could feel comfortable about themselves in sin like they are without repentance and faith toward God. See? In this day and hour that we're living in, that's the reason why that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Because in this church, they don't hear what they want. They've got another church they can go try. And then if that don't work, they've got another one. Listen, you probably go to a different church every day of your life until you finally wound right on up in hell without, if that's what you're doing, if that's what you're on the run from. And I don't see anybody like that. I don't mean that to be anybody here. But if it does, the shoe does fit, you might want to look at it again and see what kind of shoe that's on there. See, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and to deliver us from our sins and to change us and wash us and make us white as snow. You know, whenever you got saved, you can't help but tell somebody about it. I guarantee you, every time you get out, you may not dress somebody down and go to preaching to them and trying. These kids, they'll do it. Huh? You ever notice how before they even get saved, you go to one of your families for Christmas, one of them smoking a cigarette, they'll tell you, hey, buddy, you don't need to be, that's out of hell, don't you know that? Now you're having to slap them back for something that, see what I'm talking about? They don't have a whole lot of tact to attract, a lot of etiquette, but let me just say to you, it's a good thing to know that one day they're going to be big enough to walk forward and receive deliverance from sin. And when they leave there, they're going to have a different track than they ever had before. There's going to be a shoe of the gospel that's put on their foot. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. God can see the tracks you're making and where you're going and what you're doing. I want to close and tell you that tonight, that while you begin to look into it, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that I'm his and he's mine. And that is because of the marvelous and the wonderful mercy and grace of God that's made it so. I've not seen...